Remember what we started with then, friends, in Romans chapter 9. We're in chapter 11 now, but remember this is a discourse by Paul on the issue of, has God's promise failed then? Remember, he said to Abraham, in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. But hey, Israel rejected the Savior or did not believe. So has his promise failed? Not at all. Let's look at this, Colin Cook here, and how it happens. The good news this is all about. How the good news happens through our Savior Jesus Christ, who reveals the heart of the Father, which is a heart of love and mercy, and who atones for our sins and gives us victory over the forces of evil by his victory, not ours. We learn to trust in his victory. And all this, my friends, helps you with your struggles with this life. Addictions, obsessive thoughts, worries, anxieties, all the issue of your identity and who you are, all of this comes to us through faith training in Jesus Christ. All right. Now, remember what Paul is trying to do. He's come to the issue of Israel because he's very, very troubled, very distressed about people, and because they were given the promises, they were given the covenants, they were given the law, the service of God, and all of that. And has God's plan failed then, and he's had to opt to plan B? Not at all, Paul says, because he makes it clear that true Israelites are not simply Jews. True Israelites are people who believe in the promise that was given to Abraham. In you all families of the earth shall be blessed. He makes that clear, you see, in chapter 9, verse 7. Nor are all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac, that is in the child of promise, your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. And then he goes through several verses throughout this chapter, demonstrating that it is God who shows mercy, not the one who has discipline and will. That is how salvation comes about. For instance, he says in verse 16, so then it is not of him who wills nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. And he points out several illustrations that God calls the older, the younger, the born, even though the younger was not the firstborn, in referring, of course, to Esau and Jacob. And, of course, the younger, Jacob, became the firstborn because he believed and he wrestled with God, whereas Esau, he gave it up. He sold the birthright. And so Paul makes several other illustrations that point out that God is the one who elects. God is the one who brings faith into the heart of believers and they believe. I know it's a conundrum. We don't need to worry about it. All we need to concern ourselves about is that we believe also. And so he says, I will call them my people who are not my people, and a remnant will be saved. And unless the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of armies, that means, had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom. So he says, what shall we say then? Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, did not attain to it because they did not seek by faith. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, the rock of offense, that's Christ, and yet whoever believes on that Christ, that Messiah, will not be put to shame. So Paul is slowly showing us, you see, that true Israel are those who put trust in Jesus Christ, or those who put trust in the promise in the Old Testament, the promised seed to come. And then he points out in chapter 10 that this righteousness that we receive is a righteousness that is by faith alone. Israel was ignorant of God's righteousness and sought to establish their own by all of the works and all of the rituals and all of the laws and the rules and the morality. But they did not submit to Christ's righteousness. And that righteousness, according to Paul here in chapter 10, is not the worrying righteousness that says, oh, how shall we go up to heaven to get Christ down or get him up from the dead so that he can be with us and help us? No, it says, this righteousness is the righteousness of faith in the heart, which is says that the word is near you. The word of salvation is near me. I do not have to worry about the future or long for the past to return. I can say in my heart, Father, I thank you that you are here with me, that Jesus is my Savior, and that I am saved in you and redeemed in you. For Paul says in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in on him will not be put to shame. So you see, Paul is making the case here for the righteousness of faith, which is accessible to everyone, the Gentile and the Jew, the Greek and everyone else. He says in verse 12, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so you see, Paul is building his case for who Israel really is. The believers, whether Jewish or Gentile. Gentile, remember, means nations. Gentile, the Greek word Gentile, is the equivalent for the Hebrew word for nations. And so the nations who believe, these are the seed of the promise, along with the Jews. But then Paul comes back to the issue of Israel, literal Israel. And he says, well, has God cast away the literal ones then, the ones of the flesh? And Paul says, not at all. No. He then goes into this incredible idea or message that those who have stumbled in Israel, those Jewish people who have not believed and stumbled, those who have fallen, those who have been rejected, those who have been cast away, I'm using all the terms that Paul uses, are not permanently rejected and cast away and fallen and stumbled. They can be brought back in. By what means? By faith. That's what it says there in verse 23. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And so then he comes to that interesting passage that says, you should not be ignorant of this mystery, my friends, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. So then what is all Israel? All Israel is all of God's, all of Abraham's literal descendants who believe in the promise, along with all of the nations or people of the nations, the Gentiles, who also believe in the promise. And all of the people who believe in the promise of Christ in the New Testament and thereafter. And so, that's all Israel. The Deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Ah, my friend, this is just awesome and wonderful. It means that God's plan did not fail. He, according to verse 32, has placed and imprisoned and committed everyone to disobedience so that he might have mercy on all, and I might add all who call upon him, because it's very, very clear that he's talking about the response of faith in these chapters, how important it is. So, my friend, You then have to ask yourself, has God's promise failed in my life? No. You do not determine the fulfillment of God's promise in your life by how successfully you are overcoming this or that sin. You don't have to determine it by how often you are being defeated. You determine it by the mercy of God in which you trust. And as you keep trusting in God's mercy, you keep bouncing back, and victories are won. Maybe not immediately, maybe not totally, maybe not for years. But you keep hanging on, and you keep claiming that Christ is your righteousness, and you keep affirming that you are resting on God's mercy, not upon your merit. And this means that you are part of the true Israel. And so Paul, with all of these thoughts in mind, says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory for ever. Amen." This is Romans chapter 11, verses 31 to 36. You know, implied in these verses, my friend, is this: do not try to figure God out rationally. Yes, there is an understanding of him once we trust. But, my friend, don't try to figure out your salvation based upon a rational approach to your performance or to your Christian qualities or to your victories and whatever. Figure God out in one way only: faith in his mercy. If you are at the end of your rope, if you have gone, you feel, too far, throw yourself upon God and he will smile. That is the gospel, my friend. You know, my friends, I want to tell you that God must love Okechukwu in Nigeria very, very much. I am a little awed today. Somebody contacted me by phone this morning and said that he's listened to the program on and off for years, 10 years ago. He started to listen to it, I believe. But he doesn't listen regularly now, but just happened to listen, I think it was last night or the night before, when I mentioned that the generator at the little laundry mission that we have there in Ekiti had now gone bust because the government has failed to supply electricity for five of the states. There's been zero electricity for 3.5 weeks now. And so they've had to use the generator 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, and there has been no let-up. So the generator just wore out. Well, this gentleman just happened to listen to the broadcast, and he said, "I think I can help." And I went to see him, and he put in my hand enough money for Okechukwu to get a new generator. And it wasn't he's not a wealthy man. He just happened to have a certain extra amount of money, and he decided to donate it. I just tell you, my friend, I am awed by things like this. It's God's action moving upon people's hearts to meet a need. All praise, all glory goes to him, my friend, and it is truly wonderful. And, you know, you respond because you've heard the gospel and you've heard the mercy of God to you, and so your heart is warmed to bless other people. How wonderful it is. So keep praying, my friends. Keep believing. Keep training your faith. I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.